You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday afternoon, September the 8th, we conclude our six-part series on the sexual revolution. We've been talking in general about the victims of the sexual revolution. There's a famous one that our guest, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, wrote about some years ago. Taylor Swift, she was America's sweetheart. She still is America's sweetheart. There's no two ways about it. She is basically a success machine when it comes to pop music, but one of those that was saving herself for marriage. And if you listen to any of her songs, which I have to admit sometimes I do, I think that train left the station some time back. Is she a victim of the sexual revolution? We'll also talk about the West's fertility war as we conclude this series with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, founding president of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities and author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. Jennifer, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You recently relocated in a major way, not just in terms of miles, but in terms of culture. You went from San Marcos, which is, I could call it heaven on earth, but I think San Diego is actually the heaven, but you're just right outside of heaven on earth, and to another heaven on earth, but to a culturally very different place, to Louisiana. How's the move been?
Well, it's been a lot of work, that's for sure, but we're very happy here in Louisiana. We're in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and it's just the people are very sensible, down-to-earth people, and the prices are a lot lower, and we're just getting ourselves settled into a new place here.
What about the culture there? You said sensible, California versus the South.
Well, you know, in California, children can have three parents on their birth certificate. The words mother and father have been outlawed, have been removed from all the legal documents. Those kinds of things which California pioneered, you know, that I suppose they'll eventually be coming to Louisiana because the Supreme Court has required that everybody redefine marriage to remove the gender requirement. So probably those things will end up here. But right now, when I tell somebody about that, they look at me like there's something wrong with me, you know, and they just kind of roll their eyes and say, well, that's California. But that's not something the people of Louisiana would pick for themselves. And in fact, it's said to be the most pro-life state in the union. So I'm very excited about that. And I did see my first alligator a couple of nights ago. So that's all pretty cool.
Now, last time we were talking, one of the big lies of the sexual revolution that you pointed out was that sex is no big deal. And you wrote some time back about pop American icon Taylor Swift, pop singer, and how she kind of became one of the victims of that lie of the sexual revolution. Tell us about it.
Well, she made a point of saying that she was saving herself for marriage, that she was that she thought that it was very important to not have sex until she was married. And then in 2010, she gave herself to a guy. She broke that resolve. And then she gave him a Christmas party for herself, and he didn't show up. And she realized that she had been used, you know. And so, you know, think about somebody of the stardom quality and the beauty and the talent of somebody like Taylor Swift basically being dumped, you know, or basically being used. And, you know, so if it can happen to her, it can happen to anybody. And she was devastated by the fact that he, you know, in a very caddish kind of a way, just didn't show up to her party. And she realized that she had been used. And the thing that bothered me so much about it, that happened in 2010, and the gossips, the media gossips, just went crazy about it and basically, you know, spent their time talking about how hypocritical she was and how stupid she was. And then last year, literally last year, for no reason that I could figure out, they brought up this story again and start going on about how Taylor Swift is foolish and and why should anybody save themselves, and all of this type of stuff. And it just, it struck me, two things struck me about it. You know, one is that this was a, when this event happened, this was a 20-year-old girl. And here are all these media commentators and experts and so on chiming in on her, piling on her, basically. And I'm thinking, you know, what kind of behavior is that for adults to have towards a 20-year-old person, no matter how rich or talented or famous or anything else? It seems to me adults should be looking after young people at least a little bit. And then, of course, the second thing that came to mind is that the guardians of the sexual revolution must crush all dissent from the sexual revolution. You know, anybody who holds out and says, I'm going to save myself till marriage, they have to find some way to attack that, right? Because that the idea that sex is no big deal and that sex doesn't really belong in marriage, those are articles of faith for them. You know, that's like the Nicene Creed for those people. So anybody is perform some kind of heretical statement against it, you know, they have to come down with both feet on them, even if that person is an innocent 20-year-old who really deserves just a little bit of protection from adults. They have to pile on. So it's really quite striking when you look at it from the perspective of the sexual revolution as an ideology, which requires absolute consent on everybody's part. That's what is really striking about the whole thing.
You also noted when you wrote about it, and this is what you said. You said, in fact, you could say that casual sex is not even possible for women. What were you talking about?
Well, that's right. I mean, what I'm talking about there is that women have a very strong tendency to attach to their sex partners, because women, we give off oxytocin, which is a hormone that causes attachment and bonding to take place. We secrete, I guess is the right word, I'm not a doctor. We secrete a lot of that hormone when we're being sexual. And we have a lot of oxytocin receptors in our bodies. Men give off oxytocin too, but if they're not as sensitive to it. And so when we are being sexual, there is a tendency that women have to attach to their sex partners, even if the guy is not the best guy in the world, even if sometimes against our better judgment, we're attaching to our sex partners. And so, therefore, the physiology of attachment means that casual sex isn't so casual for women. There's this other factor over there called the attachment factor that the mainstream media and the gatekeepers of the sexual revolution do not want to acknowledge, which is that sex is a kind of a serious business for women, and it can have long-term physiological and psychological effects for women that simply aren't present to the same degree for men. And so that's what I mean when I say casual sex isn't possible for women. And of course, that kind of thing is infuriating to the sexual revolutionaries, because they're committed to the position that there's no difference between men and women at all. And any difference you see between men and women, well, it's somehow socially constructed. So if I turn around and say, well, there's actually something physiological going on here, wherein men and women are different and those differences play out in socially significant ways, oh my gosh, they can't handle that. You know, they don't want to hear that. So, yeah, that's what I'm talking about there, Todd.
Well, I want to deal with two more things on that subject. And one is that while Taylor Swift certainly might be called the exception because of her worldwide fame, her wealth, all those things that go along with the kind of stardom that she enjoys, you know, on account of the talent, she is, in that same sense, a very, very typical 20-year-old girl. I mean, a lot of 20-year-olds, as you say, cried themselves to sleep over some jerk who talked her into it.
That's right. That's exactly right. In other words, her fame, her stardom, her money does not protect her from that broken heart. You know, now, if she got into a disastrous divorce or had a long-term relationship with a guy and the guy was a creep, you know, she might be able to buy her way out of some of the problems. And I think that's what happens in our culture, that a lot of the well-to-do people in our society are able to pay their way out of a lot of the more serious problems associated with the sexual revolution. But there's a core, there's a bedrock that you can't buy your way out of, that Taylor Swift can't buy her way out of, poor person can't buy their way out of, a nice lady with a law degree can't buy her way out of. Your female newscaster can't buy her way out of. There are certain problems that come with the territory that we refuse to acknowledge. And her case there, that one 20-year-old girl's case, can be a stand-in for that reality, that there's a core physiological reality to what it means to be a woman and what the female experience truly is. And we're denying that at our peril, really.
Well, and there is the culture now shaped by the sexual revolution, not only kind of making fun of her a little bit, a lot, but also telling
a lot.
Well, telling her and every other 20-year-old girl that's been through that, you shouldn't be crying yourself to sleep. This is no big deal. You shouldn't have a broken heart. You shouldn't have a heart at all about these kind of things. With about a minute, your thoughts.
Yes, there's something wrong with you. If you feel something, if you feel attached, if you feel connected, if it hurts you that your one-night stand turned into a one-night stand and didn't turn into to the great romantic dream that you had hoped it would turn into, you are the one with the problem, not the guy who acted like the jerk, not the media that led you down that path with misleading information. You are the one with the problem. You need to sit down, shut up, and cry yourself to sleep, but we don't want to hear you cry in public. We don't want to hear anything about it. That's what a lot of girls are dealing with today. And they don't get the attention. They don't get the publicity. But I think as adults, we need to be cognizant of the fact that there are a lot of girls who need support, but they're not going to get in public. And this is the job of the church, is to make sure that we're available and ready to listen to these girls when they tell us these stories.
Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. We're concluding a six-part series with her on the sexual revolution. We'll be right back.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We talk to the biggest names in religion today, liberal bishop John Shelby Spong.
I don't think Jesus ever preached the Sermon on the Mount, for example. I don't believe anybody ever took five loaves and two fish and fed 5,000 people. I don't believe that's possible to do.
Liberal Bible critic Bart Ehrman.
There's a difference between what the historical Jesus actually said and what the Gospels say he said. And to understand what the historical Jesus was really like, we have to get behind the Gospels.
Muslim critic of Christianity, Reza Aslan.
By definition, the resurrection is an ahistorical event, and so therefore historians have no right, no business commenting upon it.
Where else on Christian radio will you hear these guests challenged with important questions? Talk radio for the thinking Christian, Issues Etc. Listen live or on demand at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest, founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California, author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims, including our six-part series with her on the sexual revolution. turning to what you've called the West's fertility war here, what are we talking about? Was it kind of the inevitable meeting of abortion with Western kind of elite consumerism?
Well, you could say that. I think the best way to put it, Todd, is that there have been in the West a group of people who have been making war on women's fertility since approximately Robert McNamara in the 1960s. And these are people who believe that there are too many people, that fertility is a problem, that women's fertility is a problem, and that particularly poor women's fertility is a problem. And in the one chapter there in the book on the West War on Fertility, I'm particularly concerned about one particular unanticipated consequence, which is the very, very seriously imbalanced sex ratio around the world and the long-term problems that that's going to create. I don't suppose when all these zero population growth people and pro-abortion people started saying we've got to do something about having too many people and we have to let people have the right to choose whatever they want. I don't suppose any of them foresaw the problems that would be created by the lopsided gender ratio. But indeed, we've got some very serious problems around the world.
What does it do? I mean, what does it do? We talk about sex selection in China, where they have the, you know, a limited child policy that has led to quite obviously the abortion of young of baby girls rather than baby boys. What happens in a society that pursues that as public policy?
Well, what happens is, and by the way, China is not the worst case in terms of a sex ratio. A normal sex ratio at birth is about 105 boys per every 100 girls, and that's thought to be because boys are more likely to die in infancy and early childhood than girls are. So if you start out with 105 baby boys to every 100 baby girls, you end up with a pretty well-balanced adult population. But what's happened around the world is that some of the countries have very badly skewed sex ratios. The worst that I'm aware of is in Armenia, with 120 boy babies per every 100 girls, and country of Georgia, Azerbaijan, those kind of places, in addition to the ones we know that everybody thinks about, China and India and so on, of having very highly skewed sex ratios. So what happens is that when these babies grow up and become adults, there aren't enough girls for the men to marry. Okay, that's the basic problem, you know, that some boys are going to grow up to be men that aren't going to have wives. And so what that does is it places pressure on those who have access to female sexuality that female sexuality becomes valuable. And the right to have sex with a woman, that becomes a valuable thing. And so what happens is that girls end up, it doesn't translate into power for women, which I think a lot of economists would think, oh gosh, you know, imbalanced sex ratio, high demand for women, women can turn that into valuable result resources for themselves. Well, the problem with that is that when you're a 13-year-old girl or 12-year-old girl, you don't have the power to negotiate and bargain on your own behalf. Your father does, or some guy who kidnaps you does. You know, that's somebody controls access to female sexuality. And so it isn't unheard of for families to sell their daughters into sex slavery. It isn't unheard of for people to be kidnapping girls and selling them into sex slavery. The pressure just builds on the society to do something to make it possible for men to have access to sex with women. And so this is part of what's going on. The sex trafficking that we hear so much about, part of it, not all of it, I'm not going to say all of it, but part of it is being driven by an imbalance of adult women for men to marry and to have, dare we say it, legitimized sex. And so a lot of men have access to one woman. That's what prostitution does, is make it possible for a lot of guys to have sex with one woman and take some of the pressure off of the demand, if you will, for a sex partner. So that's what's happening in these societies. You know, not too long ago, I wrote this article, you know, a couple of years ago, but not too long ago, there was an image that went around the internet, Todd. I don't know if you remember this image. It was an image of a Chinese man and his young daughter, I don't know, 10 or 12, and they were traveling together, and he had handcuffed her to himself so that nobody could snatch her away from him while they were traveling. I guess they were in an airport or something like that. And he was so aware of the possibility of his daughter being kidnapped and so afraid of it that he handcuffed his daughter to himself for her safety, you know. So that's a reality in some parts of the world that we in the United States know nothing of. We don't even think about that. But some people are very aware of it and are taking serious steps to protect themselves and their children from it. So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're dealing with.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is a regular guest. She's founding president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the new book, The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims. You can purchase this book at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Look for The Sexual Revolution and Its Victims by Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse. Jen, thank you.
You're very welcome, Todd.
Congratulations to Jessica Rosenwinkel in Madison, Wisconsin, and Chris Wonderly in Moab, Utah. They won a free registration to the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Thanks to everybody who filled out a conference survey and left conference feedback on the Issues Etc. comment line. Now, in case you're wondering, the dates for next year's conference are already set. They are Friday, June the 10th and Saturday, June the 11th, 2016. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference 2016, next summer. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series on Christian apologetics with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, and we're going to discuss BuzzFeed's video, I'm Christian, But I'm Not. Molly Ziegler-Hemingway of The Federalist will join us to talk about that tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What kind of hostility do Christians encounter? When does hostility become persecution? And how can we respond? The Issues Etc. book of the month is Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Standing Firm is written by scientist Dr. Jesse Yao. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Standing Firm, A Christian Response to Hostility and Persecution.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel, more than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.